Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you in our greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam, sister.
Thank you. Okay, we are here to talk about Make It a Happy Family with Student Minister Stanley Muhammad and Student Minister James Muhammad. But, of course, there is a national meeting conference call that is going on. So they are going to be here. It was supposed to be over at 8, so they're going to be just a few minutes late. So we are going to still have our show and talk about our topic. And in the meantime, what I'm going to do, I'm going to start off by letting everybody know about Brother Jihad. So many of you have asked on Facebook, and thank you for your prayers and for your support. And just really, he feels that love and he feels your spirit within him. Unfortunately, our host of Out on the Front Line, with the Fruit of Islam, Brother Jihad Muhammad out of Atlanta. He's on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m., most of you know. He suffered a brain aneurysm on Monday, and he is still in very critical condition, but he is so much better than he was when it initially took place. He is moving. He is capable of verbalizing, but he is on the ventilator. He responds to stimulus, so he knows his name. He knows people. He was able to sit up on his own, so he is making tremendous progress. And I'm going to announce it again at the end of the broadcast, but I want everyone to know that starting tomorrow, We are doing a 3-day prayer fast on behalf of Brother Jihad, and it's just been so much love from all over the country. The brothers in Florida are actually making an effort to sell additional final calls on behalf of Brother Jihad. So in the event that you can't fast, for all of you FOI, you know, pick up a few extra final calls on Brother Jihad's behalf. MGT, please do something charitable for some of our single brothers. Maybe make a pot of bean soup or feed the homeless or something, because Brother Jihad was definitely a soldier out on the front line, and we are awaiting his return. So all praise is due to Allah for the progress that he's made, and thank all of you for your love, your prayers, your care, and your concern. Allah is God. He is making tremendous, tremendous, unforeseen progress. So all praise is due to Allah for that. And I want to introduce, he doesn't need an introduction. He has stormed these airways. He's blown people away with his knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. My beloved co-host, Reginald Wynn. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam, Sister Queen, and thank you for that great introduction that you gave me. But remember, I'm just a little servant crying out in the wilderness to save and rescue our people from the wiles of Satan, so that we all can share in the kingdom as we seek its righteousness. Let me start by saying, in the name of Almighty God, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, whose proper name is Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad through the great Mahdi, whom all praises are eternally due. I further thank Allah for searching and finding one among us, the lost found members here in the wilderness of North America, who were stolen from their homeland, robbed of the knowledge of self, robbed of the knowledge of God, robbed of the knowledge of their history and their greatness. The scriptures refer to this man as the first begotten of them that slept, or the first fruit of them that slept, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, who is without a doubt, in my humble opinion, in the belief of all the believers, the exalted Christ and that messianic figure for the followers of the Torah, and he was also mentioned in the scripture or the book of Malachi. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad is also that great eternal leader and preacher of freedom, justice, and equality to the wilderness of North America and to the people all over the world. Lastly, but nowhere at least, it would be not enough to thank Almighty God Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, for allowing the most honorable Elijah Muhammad to place in his vacant seat a man who is a true friend and consistent champion on delivering the truth that his spiritual father, the honorable Elijah Muhammad, left him to convey with even more clarity and exactness. And that brilliant and wise student is none other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the highest example of a follower of Jesus in our midst today. It is in their holy and righteous names that I greet the listening audience, the host, the beloved host, Sister Queen Aziza Muhammad, who is the engine that makes the show run by and with the permission and help of Almighty God Allah. I greet you with the greeting words of peace in paradise. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Beautiful, beautiful intro, Brother Reginald. All praises to Allah. And
yes.
Yes, sir. And let me remind you, there are an influx of calls coming in. Brother Student Minister Stanley will be with us shortly. He's on a call with Student Minister Ishmael. As soon as that call ends, he will be joining us for the topic. But we also have with us the host of our Monday night show, Conscious Black Nation, who I know he thought he was going to sit and hide out tonight. But assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Kareem.
How are you, beloved?
I'm fine. All praise is due to Allah, indeed. I am just nursing the knee that I injured today doing it while I was working, but that's all right.
Oh, goodness, no. No, 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 no. We can't be injured.
Well,
we pray a speedy recovery for you, too, as well.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All praise is due to Allah. Yes, I had intended to, I was tuning in because, I want to learn, too. You know, I'm a student myself, so I'm here to learn some things, and it's about having a happy home. I would love to have one of those.
Well, you know, in their absence, hey, I'm 26 years of a marriage counselor. I think I can help out in this subject matter. And we're going to go ahead and proceed and await Brother James and Brother Student Minister Stanley. But we want to talk about part one of a four-part series, if I'm not mistaken, that Student Minister Stanley is going to bring to us about making a happy family life. And when I spoke to him by the grace of Allah, he was able to give me an outline, so to speak, of how his lecture series is going at the study group where he's located in College Park, Georgia. And so he takes it from courtship. You know, he takes it from the beginning of, you know, the whole process of building a family all the way through to marriage, to children, to grandchildren. So it's going to be a wonderful series. So the first thing we want to talk about, instead of talking about courtship, I want to talk about self-preparation. Because before you could even contemplate on living with someone else, you got to first be happy with yourself. You don't want to take your miserable self into a relationship. So I'm just going to get you gentlemen's opinion on how do you think we best prepare and self-improve prior to getting into a courtship. So I'm going to start with you, Brother Kareem. He wasn't ready. He's not ready. I know it. I got him.
Y'all,
I got
him
like he gets me every Monday.
All praise is due to Allah. Well, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the world, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. In the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, his last and greatest messenger, the exalted Christ, and in the name of our divine reminder, in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I greet you all and the listening audience with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And in response to the question, the first thing, or what I'm doing myself, I mean, that's the best example I can use, is what I'm doing myself, is striving each and every day to live these teachings. And, you know, when I say live these teachings, let me be very clear. Just being able to quote what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, just being able to quote what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says or has said, even though, yes, we must sail the final call, even though all those things are wonderful, however, they are a far cry from actually living these teachings. And when I say that, what I mean is that living these teachings, the best example of that is how we treat one another. When we, for example, we were given the statement, you want for your brother or slash sister what you want for yourself.
That's right.
Well, what does that mean? Well, then I have to look at myself and honestly understand and decide, what is it that I want for myself? I mean, often people go into relationships or striving to get a mate because they say, well, it says that marriage is half your religion. And we often go into these relationships looking for someone else to make us happy. Well, I was always raised, my mother raised me, my mother is MGT, and she raised me with this thought in mind that, number one, no one else can make you happy. The other thing is, it's not their job to make you happy. You are responsible for your own happiness. And true happiness comes from submission and service to Almighty God Allah. So in preparing to be with someone else, the first thing I've had to do, and I'm yet doing and learning, is how to properly take care of myself, how to love myself, to make sure that I have peace of mind and that I'm also treating other people to the best of my ability. Because, yes, sometimes I fall short. Maybe a lot of times I fall short. But to treat others like I desire to be treated. And that's what I mean by actually living these teachings. Because at the end of the day, and you know, I will say this, in the Bible, pardon me, I believe it's Matthew 21, and it runs from verses, I think, 22 through 30 maybe. I don't have my Bible in front of me right now because, as you said, I wasn't prepared. However, well, it talks about the fact that when the king comes and he will separate the sheep from the goat. Well, it talks about the fact that Jesus makes the statement and says that when you have done this unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it also unto me. So that means that in me living this life, in me preparing to be with someone else, because, I mean, it's not an easy job dealing with somebody else and their various thoughts, emotions, desires, quirks, okay, on a 24-hour basis. That's not an easy job. In order to do that, you got to be at peace with yourself. That way, when you run into difficult situations with one another, the first thing you do is you turn to the God. And I'm not talking about a God out in outer space. But you turn to the God within you. And that individual has to turn. So when you're in disagreement, you have to turn to Allah in yourself. That individual has to turn to Allah in themselves. Then you can come on one accord, because the God is not the author of confusion. So the God is going to be in unison automatically. So now you can resolve whatever your situation is. But as I was saying, like I said, when you've done this unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it also unto me. So in my view, then how close I am to God is predicated on how well I treat the next individual. And so, like I said, for me, that's the biggest thing in that preparation, is living this word of God. Assalamu alaikum.
Wow. Okay. And Brother Reginald, what's your opinion? What is the best way to prepare yourself for courtship or for just getting ready to be with another person?
Well, first, you, like the brother said, he was exactly correct, and there's really not much I can add to what he said, except that all higher forms of learning and getting closer with the Creator, the Most High, Allah, God, is to first recognize that you have to work on thyself. The first rule or law after the fear and knowledge of God is to know thyself. So the question is, what is self? In spirituality, self is a complex and core subject in really many different forms of spirituality. There are two types of self that are commonly talked about. One is called the self-ego, which is also called the learned superficial self of mind and body. And the other is called the true self, the observing self, the witness. Out of these definitions of self. We must separate the ego from our true self, which is, if we are to be a part of this spiritual revolution, this spiritual evolution, in which we are trying to improve ourselves, which is, in my humble opinion, one of the bases of community development, which we will be discussing later. But before you can work on anything or anybody else to uplift that person, those people, those persons, you must have a complete control over self. The minister Louis Farrakhan often says that we live by chasing the desires of the lower self or the lower desires of ourselves. And this, once we do this, this causes the whole body to be confused, to be completely or rebellion to God. This is the self that we need to try and wash ourselves or rid ourselves of, because we can only strive in the process of learning what God wants us to be, what he has given us to be, and to the knowledge of what God has deemed for us in our nation. So self is very important to master, because once you master yourself, you have just opened up your mind, your heart, your soul, and all your strength to master everything that Allah has created in his boundless universe. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. All praises due to Allah. Okay, well, you know, if I was going to add anything to either one of you gentlemen, you know, I would only say, in addition to everything that you said, of course, establishing your faith, a firm foundation, but most of all, being honest, because a lot of us, we lie to ourselves. And a lot of times desperation will cause us to lie to ourselves. The longing or the yearning to be with someone will allow us to lie to ourselves. Deceptive intelligence will kick in. And we think that we are ready for certain things, but we're ready for one aspect of it, but not the entire ordeal. And so the first thing is to know with the surety what you desire. And sometimes you have to be uncompromising, because when you get into a relationship, it's for the long haul. It's supposed to be until death do us part, and that's the kind of thinking we have to have. And in that process, we have to know with the surety what we desire. Because if you accept less, at some point, your tolerance for that dissatisfaction is going to set in, and it's going to create discord. So the first thing I would do is know for certain what I want and be uncompromising. Now, sometimes, yes, there are things you have to compromise on, but knowing the basic desires that you want for a long term is most important. Most important, more than anything. So I just wanted to add that. And we're going to bring in Student Minister James. Evidently the call is over, so we expect Brother Stanley in a minute. As-salamu alaykum, Brother James.
Wa alaykum salam, Queen. How are you?
I'm blessed by Allah's grace and permission, sir. And yourself?
I'm pretty good, but actually I'm better than pretty good. Just trying to be modest, but coming off of that spirit last Tuesday, my goodness.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I am fantastic. A little under the weather, but who makes rain, hail, snow, and earthquakes?
All praises to Allah. Yes, sir. It's going to get better.
Oh, absolutely. Who was that? Who was the brother? What's I heard? Since you said Brother Stanley was not on?
Is that my brother Reggie? Yes.
Well, give me the greetings, brother.
Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum. How are you doing, Brother Minister James?
I'm fine, by Allah's grace, Brother Reggie. Good to hear your voice, man.
Likewise.
And we also have Brother Kareem on the phone. We snuck him in.
Brother Kareem, the VP of the network, the brother who is so important now that we can hardly reach him or talk with him anymore, never get invited on his show anymore. Is that elitist Brother Kareem that you're talking about?
Yes, that one. That one.
As-salamu alaykum, dear brother.
Walaikum salam. How you doing, soldier?
I'm fine. All praises due to Allah. And you have to forgive me. I'm just out here beating the bushes to make sure I can keep this roof over my head.
Oh, I know that's right, beloved. Believe me. You know.
Okay. Well, Brother James, you came right just in time to answer the question. So I'm gonna ask you. What is it that we need to do first in preparation into going into courtship and contemplating on living our lives with another person?
Wow. What is the first step? That's something to consider. The very first step. I think we have to be, and I really hate to answer that. I wasn't prepared for that particular question, sis, to be quite honest with you. But in any effort to complete our religion, to make complete our faith by finding our essence, our twin essence in our female counterpart, I think we have to do a serious self-assessment in terms of our preparedness, spiritually, and then, of course, financially, but mostly spiritually, and understanding what we are contemplating in this next stage or step in our lives. We're preparing to accept responsibility for someone and something greater than ourselves. So we really have to assess, are we ready for that kind of responsibility? And I don't mean just financially. I mean, that's important, but Allah does not give finance as a criteria for marriage, and certainly not for courtship. The fact about it, he says, let not poverty impede you from getting married. Allah will enrich you out of his grace, out of his mercy. Mm-hmm. So finance is important, but spiritual preparedness in anticipation of the greater responsibility you are about to undertake, I think, is the most important. An assessment of our motivation. Why are we going into courtship? Certainly, we cannot deny that there's a physical motivation. The Bible says, better to marry than to burn. And that's on both ends, if you get my meaning.
Mm-hmm.
burning. Please, I'm not.
I'm trying to hold it. I'm sorry.
I'm not trying to be vulgar, but it's referencing burning with the passion for sexual gratification, and then also burning in the fires of hell for fornication and adultery.
Yeah.
So better to marry than to burn. But what is our motivation? I think this is an initial assessment, honest assessment we must make. So we cannot discount that there is a physical component in our motive. And there's nothing wrong with that. But is this the overriding motivation? This is what we must question. So I think self-assessment, the same principles, the step-by-step principles that govern our study guide process, our study group process, which is self-analysis, self-assessment, self-improvement. And then there's another one in there somewhere. But it begins with self-analysis. What is our motivation? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, what we do is limited by why we do it.
Yes, sir.
And I'll close on that. Thank you, sis.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you. And I don't know if Brother Stanley is on the phone because I can't keep up right now. So, Brother Stanley, if you're out there, press 1 on your dial pad so I can bring you in. But if not, we're just going to move on, and I'm pretty sure he's going to join us in a few minutes when he finishes his call. Okay, so we're going to move on, and we want to talk about the development of the relationship, because when you're developing a relationship, there are three things, in my personal opinion, that I think you have to develop the character for or create the stomach for, so to speak. And I would say patience, understanding, and consideration. So I'm gonna start with you, Brother Reginald. How do you condition yourself, in your opinion, to have patience, understanding, and consideration for another?
Well, you have to always put yourself or try to put yourself in the shoes of that one whom you have entered into courtship with. And by doing that, you can avoid a lot of the selfishness humans sometimes bring into a relationship. May it be based on a past experience, may it be based on just our own conceit and vanity. It might be based on the structure that we were brought up in, our family, how our father treated the mom, or how our brothers treated their girlfriend, or even what's going on today, which is really, really sad, is what we see and view on TV, in these videos, hip-hop to be exact, and on these so-called reality shows. These reality shows are showing the false of what a relationship is supposed to be about. We see them breaking up. We see them fornicating. We see them committing abomination acts, and we all know what that is. We see them dressing like women. We see all of these things, so quite naturally, we have to clear our mind of that and get rid of that type of thinking into the thinking of a righteous person, which a righteous person wants for their mate what they want for themselves. They understand the hierarchical structure that Almighty God has placed in the universe for us to be at harmony with each other. Because once you realize that your companion has the same destiny of reaching the goal of becoming one with Almighty God, Allah, once you realize that, and it's a vice versa or reciprocity thing, once the two people realize that, then the respect will fall into place. But have make no mistake about it. The Bible says, once again, I'm going to bring this up, it says that the wives are to submit to the husbands, and the husbands are to treat their wives as if they were treating or following Christ. So in that submissive process, it is only necessary if that man has decided to place God at his headship, place Christ at his headship. Because if he doesn't, then there is no reason for any woman to submit to a man that is not fulfilling her desire, and vice versa. There is no reason for any man to commit to a woman that is not fulfilling his desires when it comes to their relation with God. Because every marriage should be grounded on the belief in the same universal God. And if it's not, they call it in the scriptures, uneven yoke. There have been so many occasions and so many relationships that have been unevenly yoked. We have a high divorce rate as a people. We have a high rate of mothers or fathers, to that matter, because we seem to leave that out sometimes, raising the children without the two of them being together. So once we come to the realization of who really should be at the head of the household, which is God and Christ themselves, then we will always make the mistake of choosing the wrong mate. We will always make the mistake of falling in what we think is love, which will only be a temporary feeling of emotion followed by mad passion. So that causes all types of things. It's like a chain effect. It's a slippery slope. So if we can avoid that, first of all, we must have the same faith in the belief, and we must also share with each other our goals and our destiny, what we expect from one another, communicate how can I help you, sister, to reach your goal? How can I help you, brother, to reach your goal? And in that process, when the children see mom and dad working in harmony as such, but because there will be problems, but the problems should be hid from the children. But when they see mom and dad working in that process harmonious, when they get older, they're going to respect their mate. They're going to look for the type of relationship that they were born into, that they have been raised into. And in the process, then we'll start creating more family structures. We'll start being able to go out and help our community, because the second thing in community, which is the basis of community, is family. So we must get our family structures back together, and we do that by first starting to be evenly yoked. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam. All right, Brother Red.
Okay, speak to Allah.
Amazing.
I can
Queen?
Hear you.
Oh, you hear me? Oh, okay. I thought we lost you. Okay, Queen, if you're speaking, or Brother Reggie, if you're speaking, I can't hear either of you.
No, we're both waiting on Sister Queen. I think she got lost. So if you could, Brother James, could you go ahead and answer that question?
Hello?
Okay.
Yeah, oh, we got you. Yeah, we kind of lost you there, sister.
Yeah, can y'all hear me now?
Yeah,
yes, ma'am.
Well, I can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, I don't know what happened. Okay, it's blog talk. You know how it goes.
All right.
Answer the question.
Go ahead, sis.
Oh, is the screen still on the line?
I'm on the line. Brother Reggie is on the line. You're breaking up quite badly. Brother
okay,
Reggie,
well,
I'm
going to hang up and call back.
Okay. So, Brother Reggie, we'll wait for her call, and then if you can pose the question again, I'll be glad by the help of Allah, with the help of Allah, to address it.
Yeah, the question was basically, what do we need to do as far as our inception of the relationship, as making sure that it is, you know, the right situation and the right move that we're making during the courtship.
Okay, these are very.
Okay,
very
assalamualaikum. Can everyone hear me?
All right, now, crystal clarity.
We need to repose the question to Brother James.
Yes, I was just asking, what are the best ways to develop patience, understanding, and consideration for another person? You know, when you're embarking on sharing the same time and space, and that's a new adventure or a new experience for some people who, you know, you're going into marriage, you might be leaving your mother's home, you might have been single for a significant period of time, and so you're actually getting to know one another, and you're in the situation now where you are sharing time and space together, and you are being able to observe a person up close and very personally, and so things might not be as you expected or how you may have envisioned them. So how do we develop that patience and understanding and consideration for another person, especially when it's not something that we've been in the practice of?
Well, thank you, Queen. I'll start my response by pointing out that the word develop indicates that it's a process over time and not something that happens right away. So it's over a protracted period of time. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught us that the way the God became al-Sabir, or the patient, was with his, as a result of his own dissatisfaction with the time it took to bring himself into existence.
Mm.
So we can't develop patience except to wait. To wait. Understanding that this is a new journey, and it is in fact a journey. But understanding that this is a journey upon which much information, much experience will unfold. Our expectations may be met, may not be met, or may be exceeded. Courtship allows for certain, I don't want to use the word familiarities, but for certain pieces of information to be shared and to be known. But courtship does not necessarily prepare you for the process, the journey of marriage. It is different when you are in a relationship under a contractual agreement as compared to when you are pursuing a relationship with no contractual obligations imposed upon you. So how are we in the courtship process? How is the sister? How is the brother? Naturally, we're going to put our best feet forward. We want to make the best impression that we possibly can on each other, and that's fine. That's natural. But understand that these impressions, under the circumstance of contractual obligation, now are subject to change. You see? So the realization that our expectations may not necessarily be met, they may be exceeded, as I said, or they may fall short, but understanding and being open to these possibilities. It's a journey, sis. And it's a day-by-day educational process. Really, it's an hour-by-hour, in some cases minute-by-minute. We are learning how a person is developing under certain circumstances that he or she otherwise were not in.
Yeah.
And this is what I think we should all understand. The many, many courtships that resulted, I can't say they resulted in marriage, but resulted in matrimonial experience. And
that's cute.
And I can't say marriage, because they are aborted in such a short time after the vows are uttered. But we must understand. We have to understand and be open to the reality that the joy of pursuit is not the same as the having. The joy in the pursuit of having is not the same as the having. The having is a totally different thing. And day by day, we're going to learn our partner. Day by day, we're going to learn ourselves. The real key, in my humble opinion, in my experience, is that, yes, we have to be committed to each other. There's no question about that. But we must be, above all, committed to the process.
Interesting. All praise due to Allah.
All praise due to Allah.
Brother Kareem, you want to give it a shot?
Woo-wee. What was the question again? Run that by me, because I was listening.
I said, what are the best ways to develop patience, understanding, and consideration for another person when embarking upon sharing the same time and space with one another?
Well, I 100% emphatically have to agree with Student Minister James Muhammad. It's the process. I know for myself, in my experience, I used to pray for patience. And every time someone comes, I would pray to Allah for patience. And I noticed usually right after I would pray for patience, something would happen. A situation would come up. And I would be like, well, so one day I called my mother and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. She said, well, son, that's the problem. You can't pray for patience. Because when you pray for patience, the only thing Allah is going to do is give you another trial, because patience can't be prayed for. It must be learned. You have to learn how to be patient. It's an experience. It's a process, as he was saying. And so the way that we do that is by experiencing one another. I mean, you got to get down in there and deal with the individual. And first and foremost, I would say you have to be committed, number one, to Almighty God, Allah, and what he has mapped out for us. You're committed to that process, and then you're committed to one another, you know, and then you're not going to give up on this. So that means that if I hate to use the language, but if you butt heads, okay, then you come off of it, you discuss things. You're not going to agree all the time, but when you come to a point where there's, for example, an impasse, then if you can't come to an agreement on that particular thing, then that needs to be tabled at that point. You pray, you ask for guidance on it, and you revisit that when you both can deal with that with calmer heads. Because usually when a disagreement comes up, particularly between a man and a woman that's in a relationship, you know, emotions start flying and quote unquote egos come up. So when it gets to that point, the patience aspect of it comes in with, well, we're not going to agree on this at this point. Let's table that. And till cooler heads can prevail. So, I mean, for me, it's just, again, you just, the bottom line is you're going to have to deal with one another, but you have to deal with one another based out of, as Student Minister James Muhammad said, the process, the teachings that we've been given, what Allah says in the Quran, what he says in the Bible. You, in other words, treat that person like you desire to be treated. Give them the same consideration you want them to give you and your ideas. You know, and that's how I would answer that. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Kareem. And we are so blessed to now have with us Student Minister Stanley Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Student Stanley Muhammad.
Brother Kareem and Brother Reginald and the listening audience, please forgive me. I had forgotten. I had a National Student Laborers Conference call that conflicted with this conference call, and I thank you so much for your understanding. And from what I hear so far, Brother Kareem was given some great, excellent counsel. So I'm thankful to Allah for my brothers covering down for me until I got on this conference call. And thank you once again for your understanding.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. Okay, well, Brother Stanley, this is your series that you're starting. I've already somewhat introduced the series, and I would like for you, if you would, to give them a better or more excellent view of what we can expect out of this subject matter that you are now teaching on at your mosque and your study group in College Park, and the significance of the subject itself.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for this opportunity, Sister Queen. This lecture was growing in me for quite some time as a result of counseling many couples that have some serious marital crises, and me also growing up in a broken family, you know, don't wish that on my worst enemy. And so when you love the believers and you love your people, you always want to see them happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen in these divorces high contentious, conflicting disagreements causing the children to suffer and making their minds tremendously imbalanced, which actually just grows them up to repeat the cycle. And I understand humbly to a degree why the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and honorable Mrs. Farrakhan says that strong families make a strong nation. Not patients or those who actually go out and push the final call. That's important. It is important. But if you are soldiering and you're promoting the word on the outside of your home, how do you leave the condition of your home? Is your wife happy with you? Did you leave with argument? What man who understands a nation can rise no higher than its woman, and you left your woman, your wife, not your woman, but God's woman, in that low spirit? Still, you say you're building a nation. And God said 75% of his work is with the woman. So how can we say we're doing the work when we're destroying God's woman? That God is a man. Her faith is destroyed. Because if we say God is a man and you are a man and I am a man, and we continue to disappoint her. And that bitterness begins to erode the faith that God is a man. So indirectly and unconsciously, we as men begin to work as a counterintelligence program against that which we say we love. We begin to counter everything the minister is doing. Right in the home. So I remind us what Allah said in the Holy Quran in chapter 10, verse 87, Allah says, make your houses a place of worship. Make your houses a place of worship. How many of us are really praying together with our families, and then the men are teaching their children in a loving way, teaching their wives in a loving way about this wonderful way of life called Islam. So all of these issues that I actually was counseling the believers on and couples on, even those who are Christians, gave birth to this subject matter, meaning how to give a happy, how to build a happy family life. And so I would like to share with you my objectives of this four-part lecture series that I'm delivering in College Park, and we're on part three. Will be coming up not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. And I want to say the lecture, how to build a happy family life, is to make lucid the evil time we are in according to scriptures. See, you're building a trying to build a happy family life at the end of Satan's time to rule. So we have to consider the time. That's very difficult. Where Satan have now, from Genesis, a little snake in the garden, Revelation, now he's a dragon, breathing fire. So he has evolved in his ability to deceive. So it takes great skill on the part of a man, a father and a husband, a wife and a mother, to build a happy family life at the end of time. Now, I want to share with us what the end of time looks like according to Scripture so we can understand how difficult it is, but it can be done because Allah already knew this time. And he gave us a guide to maneuver through the deceptions of Satan, the wiles of Satan, and that guide is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. See, he's our spiritual GPS.
Come on, Brother Stanley.
You know, he tells us, wait a minute, don't go straight ahead. There's a hoochie mama right there, brother. Make a left. You see, sister, watch out now. To your right is a built brother who's trying to get you. He's handsome and he's a smooth talker. Lower your gaze and avoid it by going to the left and then to the right. See? Now, I know that this is superficial the way I'm saying it, but these temptations are really taking husband and wife off their post as being faithful to their spouses, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer or for poor, to death do us part. Well, Satan's job is to see if it's true. He's going to test us. Okay, God said, okay, they said it. Now go, Satan, let's see if it's real, what that man just said. And Satan gives God a salute and goes and tests that man. See if it's real what that woman is saying in her wedding vows. Satan gives God a salute and goes and tests that woman. So here in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it tells us the test that Satan is creating for us. And I'm going to just read a few verses and touch on some of the other objectives. This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. The men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the powers thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and led captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is chapter 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Now we're trying to choose a mate from this kind of environment. See? And that's the thing. First, the mate has to come out of this environment and come into the environment of the house of God that Master Farad Muhammad created. That we can come out of the world and go into the house of God and purify our heart and our mind from these spiritual diseases. So then we have to realize that all of us who come into the house of God, we bring the baggage of the world into the house of God. So we're all demons trying to do a divine work. So here we are looking at a very difficult time that we're trying to build a happy family life. The next objective is how to acquire a God-fearing mate during these evil times. The evil has reached a zenith. And also to make lucid both natures of male and female, because you can't, if you don't understand the nature of a thing, you can't understand the actions of a thing. And if a man doesn't understand the nature of a woman, he'll be baffled to understand why she does what she does. If a woman does not understand the nature of a male, vice versa, she'll be baffled over the actions of that man. And how both of these natures are designed to complement each other, not to contend with each other. So if male and female are contending with each other, it's really indicative that one or both do not know how to skillfully complement both natures. Or one or both have not accepted the process of purification from an environment that is laden with sin. Then also, to reveal the root of male-female contention. These are some of the objectives that I want to cover in this series with the help of Allah. and the ill effect it has on us, the contention between male and female, the ill effect it has on us as male and female, and our children and our nation. See, when we contend with each other, it has an ill effect on us. Each conflict we have, it affects us negatively. Then our children that we birth in the world, it affects them because they know that these are two people I love. I come from both mother and father. But if I see them hating each other, how can I love myself? See?
Mm-hmm.
Consciously, that begins to erode their love for self. And if you don't love yourself, you do things that harm yourself. That can lead to alcoholism. That can lead to drug abuse. That can lead to yourself as being ugly. And then your self-worth lowers. And then you accept any man as a female or any woman that comes into your life because you have no standard, because your self-worth was lowered by you seeing your mother and father not loving each other, and you found it difficult for you to love yourself. And how we can put an end to this contention, and part four ends with this, how we put an end to this contention and heal the broken heart, and how we can blossom a happy, God-fearing family from the fertile soil of God's holy word in Satan's world. So those are the objectives that we want to achieve in the four-part series, Sister Queen, and I'm so happy to share with you that I completed two of them, and it was just a wonderful success with the help of Allah. And do you want me to continue, or do you want to open the floor for any dialogue? I know I've been talking for quite some time. I hope I'm not. I know I'm about an hour behind schedule. So
no.
Would you like to continue?
Well, I want to do two things right quick. Brother Kareem, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Are you able to log into your computer?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay, I'm going to need you to, if you can, please take over the show. There's something going on with Brother Jihad, and I need to get on another phone. So, Brother Stanley, if there are questions in the listening audience, let me remind the listening audience, press 1 on your dial pad. Those of you who are in the chat room, you can type in your questions. I will ask them when I come right back. I'm going to be gone for about 5 minutes, but I need to check on Brother Jihad and see what is actually going on, and I will be back with an update. But please, no, I want you to carry on, Student Minister Stanley. And Brother Kareem can run it on from here. So all praises to Allah, and I'll be back. Brother Kareem, just let me know when you're on.
Yes, ma'am, I got it. I'm in now.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'll be right back.
Yes, ma'am.
As-salamu
alaykum. Wa-alaykum salam. All right. We, Brother Stanley, if you... Okay. Well, Brother Stanley, you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm here, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, we do have someone has got their hand up if you want to take a question. Or
sure.
A comment. Yes, sir. All right. Area code 773, your mic is live.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, family, Brother Rakim Khalik Muhammad.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Stanley, thank you, sir, for coming on the show and doing such a wonderful job. Brother Kareem.
Yes, sir.
Brother, I had to come in. I couldn't just listen, brother. I'm coming in not to ask a question or anything. I just want to just be on the line with my family and, you know, just watch everything from this end. You know, listening to your beautiful voices, brother. I'm so excited tonight, and I want everyone to keep Brother Jihad in their prayers, because this brother is, he is a soldier for real. He is determined to help resurrect our people.
That's
and
right.
The brother, he's coming back. He'll be back very soon. So we're not going to give up on our dear brother.
That's right.
Not at all. Yes, sir. But carry on with the show, brothers. I just wanted to stand in and listen to the show, and I thank Allah for every one of you who are listening, and I thank my big sister Gidget, my big brother Kareem, Brother Stanley. I thank you, brother, and we're going to enjoy the rest of the show.
Praise be to Allah.
My brother Reginald.
Sir, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I mean, you know, I'm standing in as an engineer, and, you know, I can do some hosting. However, you are the co-host, so, I mean.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
yes,
that's no problem.
Yes, sir.
Really, I mean, Brother Stanley Muhammad doing this, Brother Minister, I'm sorry, Brother Minister Stanley Muhammad, doing this show, we were going to deal with family as well, if I'm correct. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Okay, so I think it would be convenient for us now to let's deal with the importance of family when it comes to community, because in my opinion, that may be the third but the most important thing of the basis of community development, and that's family, because once family is founded and in order, we can go out and we can be an example to the community, and the community can see what a family structure is made of, how it looks, how it is run, and things of that nature. So if you could, sir, could you please expound on the importance of family when it comes to the community when it comes to establishing the righteousness of the community?
Yes, sir. I would like to answer that question by defining the title, if I may, Brother Reginald. And,
sir, yes,
you know, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us to go to the root of words so we can understand what's being conveyed. And in Dianetics, we're taught to clear every word. And I will answer your question with your permission after I clear the words of how to build a happy family life. How is an adverb? It's a word that changes or qualifies the meaning of a verb, adjective, other adverb, clause, sentence, or other word or phrase. Adverb typically answers questions such as how, in what way, when, where. It means in what manner or way or methodology, a system, tactic, techniques, and sisters know this, recipe. Two, means expressing motion in the direction towards a point or destination, person, place, or thing. Build means construct by putting parts or material together over a period of time. Erect, assemble, form, fashion, shape. A is a determinator. Determinant means used when referring to someone or something for the first time in a text or conversation. Happy is an adjective, which is peace and contentment of mind, the effect of love, cheerful, joyful, untroubled, in good spirits. Family, a group consisting of parents and children living together in a household, a group of people related to each other. Those who have the same spiritual belief, ancestry, lineage, bloodline, or origin. Life, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan says in the Bible, First John chapter 4:8 says, God is love. This word is representative of an equal sign. Whatever is on one side of the equation is equal to what is on the other side of the equation. Therefore, love is God. Love and life are the same word. Just the I, the F, and the V. Because through the study of language, we learn that the F is interchangeable with the V, as is vowel, the O is interchangeable with any other vowel, the I. So when you say you have love, you have life. You have God. And when you have God, you have love. You have life. And Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan said in the time of what must be done, part, I think it's part 46, he says that in the book of John, that's what he said in part 46, pardon me. And in the book of John, 1 John, chapter 4, verse 16 and 20 and 21, and it says, and we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God. And God remains in him. And verse 20 says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother he has seen cannot love God he has not seen. Verse 21 says, and we have this command from him. The one who loves God must also love his brother. So here's the standard and criterion that if we say how to build a happy family life, here is a method, a recipe that we must have from God's servant because we don't know how. Because we were born in sin, Brother Reginald and Brother Kareem, and shaped in iniquity. So Paul said, how would they know except they have a teacher? And how would they have a teacher except he be sent? The Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan had been raised up by God to teach us the method, how, the recipe, the methodology, to, in a direction towards building, meaning you take peace and you take systems, you take it and you build these pieces and you bring these systems together. That is from Allah's anointed servant. These principles from Allah's anointed servant. And you put it together and you build happiness. These principles lead to happiness. Whatever we put into the relationship, that's what we get out of it. And if it is the right principles from the right servant of God, it will produce joy and happiness. And so a husband and wife is a foundation, Brother Reginald, of a family. But I don't believe a man and a woman should get together until they take a look in the mirror at themselves first. Am I qualified to be a husband? Am I qualified to be a wife? Am I qualified to be a father? Am I qualified to be a mother? And the mirror that they're looking in is a mirror called the Word of God, which gives us the principles of a good wife, the principles of a good father, the principles of a good mother. And if we put the Word of God next to our thoughts, and if the gap is wide, we should close that gap and build that intimate relationship with God first. And the barometer to know if we are close to God, how are we treating as a brother, my brother? I love God. You tell the wife, the sister that you're courting, that you want to be your wife, but you can't get along with your brother. You mistreat your brother. You mistreat your sister. The sister wants to marry a man, and she puts on a masquerade. Oh, I love God, but she mistreats the people of God. How can you say you love God whom you've never seen and hate your brother and sister who you see every day? That's what we call, Brother Reginald and Brother Kareem, the falsity of courtship. And there's what you call the reality of marriage. And until we actually attack the falsehood, then we can never get to the reality. And that's why they call courtship. Court, you bring the evidence. Prove you're qualified to be a good husband, a good father. Prove you're qualified to be a good wife, a good mother. And there's questions you must ask that woman. There's questions you must ask that man. And then based upon what they say, and then you watch what they do, if what they say and their actions don't add up, there's a disease in the heart. So it's very important, Brother Reginald, that if you want to build a happy family, first that man, that woman has to have God at the center of their life. God has to be primary in everything in that That's person's right. life.
That's right.
And everything else should be secondary. But the problem is, in most cases, I find, Brother Reginald, Brother Kareem, is that we are making that which is primary secondary, and that which is secondary primary, and that is the beginning of our woes in our relationship. Women say, I want a man. Oh, I just want a husband. And they do things to get a man, put on tight jeans, put on fake lashes, put on weave, show a little peekaboo. What are they doing that for? Because they're trying to get a man's attention instead of getting God's attention. And the Bible says, I think it's the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, I think it's the fifth verse, God tells the woman, I am your Lord, make me your husband. See? See, the woman has to learn how to make God sufficient. And if she is, she would not try to get attention from man. She would try to get attention from God. And that's the beauty of Maryam in Surah 19 in the Holy Quran. She is the model that every woman should pattern her life after. And because she put God first, God sent her a well-made man, see, with his spirit. And as a result of her being obedient to God, not seeking validation from a man, but trying to seek validation from God, God gave her the best man that any woman could ever ask for. And that man gave her a pure boy. I didn't say a boy, but a pure boy, because she was a pure woman. And whatever you are, that's what you draw to your life. God always gives you someone near your condition. So I see, brother, that when we look at Maryam, and when she got pregnant by a man that God sent to her, so that's a marriage. When God sends a woman a man, that is a marriage. And that's not fornication and adultery according to what the Holy Quran describes it as. It was a marriage. And then they produce a son who was the Messiah. That's a family. And everything Mary did, everything that man did who was God's spirit in the form of a well-made man, they did it out of the law and love of God. And as a result, they produce a pure child. And that is a happy family.
Right.
Because it says, and I close with this, in Proverbs chapter 29, Brother Reginald, Brother Kirk, verse 18, it says, happy is he who keeps the law of God. See, you can't have a happy family life until that family is rooted in the law of God. When we live according to the restrictive laws of God, the restrictive laws of Islam, it keeps peace. If you're not stealing from your brother, stealing from your wife, stealing from your husband, you preserve happiness. You preserve the love. But as soon as someone steals, as soon as someone lies, as soon as someone commits adultery, what does that produce? See? So it's the law of God that must be in the at the root of the family. So I hope I answered your question. I wanted to start with the basics first.
Yes, sir. You did. You answered the question that was posed to me. An excellent response, because during your answer, they wanted to know. They're very curious as to what is the difference. We probably should have covered this in the beginning, but they want to know what is the difference in marriage and courting.
Oh, that's a great question.
Excuse me, not marriage, but dating and courting. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's a great question, too. Well, let me say this. Let's deal with dating. Dating has no rules that governs it. See, everything that you have in life has rules of engagement that's of value, okay? And if you actually are talking about, I want to date this woman, okay? If you want to date this woman, the first thing you have to think about, well, who is the author of this woman? Is it God? Yes. Well, if God is her manufacturer or her creator, is there a owner's manual for this creation of God? Like if you buy a vehicle, a brand new vehicle, what would you find in the glove compartment? An owner's manual, right?
That's
and
right.
Where is the owner's manual from? It's from the manufacturer, who best knows how to care, see, for that vehicle, that you would get the maximum longevity out of that vehicle, and you would be able to utilize that vehicle based upon what you intended to use it for. But if you disregard the owner's manual, which is rules, how to use this vehicle, how to maintain this vehicle, well, what you going to do? You're going to tear it up. You're going to mess it up. And so in dating, you're not conscious or cognizant of this woman is a woman of God. And I must understand that God said the greatest attraction in the universe is between male and female. And so this woman is a great attraction to me, and I to her. And this attraction could lead to a violation of God's law called fornication. So I must have someone who would be a chaperone that would diffuse that kind of attraction from taking place, because people who want to do wrong, they don't do it in the open, they do it in the dark. And certainly they're not going to do wrong with a chaperone present in mind that would actually prevent them from doing wrong. So dating, basically, you don't have that. Dating, you're both going out together with no one preventing anything unlawful from happening. And when I say unlawful, I'm talking about the fornication, touching, kissing, because what leads to wrong is wrong. A kiss can lead to something else. Let the church say amen. Ma say Allah wa Akbar. It can lead to you got pregnant. I didn't mean for you to get pregnant. Well, she got pregnant. So now you run the man just wouldn't go on a date, but that date led to a pregnancy, and that pregnancy led to an unwanted child. And here goes a single-parent household. Here comes the contention. So dating has no rules. Courtship does. All right? Courtship is that which is you're not getting together saying we're going to marry. The purpose of courtship is to see if you are spiritually, mentally, and sometimes physically compatible. And if you understand that law and that principle, the purpose of you coming together is to build a God-fearing family. So it's a mathematical approach, not an emotional approach. And we by nature are scientists, and the courtship compels you to think more mathematical and less emotional. The dating, you're more involved with emotions, not dealing with the mathematical principle of having a goal and objective is to build a family for God. So that's a short version of the difference between courtship and dating. Courtship has rules that would prevent the violation of God's law and would come to an end to determine in a short period of time if they are compatible for marriage. If they are, they marry. And they marry without violating the law, which actually gives them a good, healthy start in their relationship.
Beautiful, brother. Thank you. Thank you.
Love.
Okay. I'm going to make a statement, and then I'm going to follow the statement by a question. And, of course, anybody on the panel can answer it. But what we also need to really explain is that although family can be considered flesh and blood, we have developed a spiritual family. So
that's right.
It's not necessarily flesh and blood that the scriptures refer to as family. So
that's right.
That's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was one of the first, if not the first, to start using the term brother and sister. And that
mm-hmm.
was done subliminally to let you know that we were brothers and sisters in faith under the watchful eye of God. And that's why we say peace be unto you, brother, and may God's peace be unto you, sister, and vice versa. It's because we recognize that we are brothers and sisters in the same exact belief. The marriage, the husband and wife, they may be husband and wife, but they're friends and they're brothers and sisters as well. That's the respect that we give each other. And it was an instance in the Bible where Jesus himself proved to the world when he made the statement as he was teaching in the synagogue,
his mom and his brothers came and told him, you know, hey, come out of there. You don't need to be in there. And I'm paraphrasing to make it modern. You don't need to be in there teaching, talking to them elders like you were talking to them. And Jesus replied, who is my mother and are my brothers? And stretching his hands out toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Could you dwell a little deeper into why we must exempt those family members of ours who don't want to worship God or even acknowledge or seek the kingdom of righteousness, and the damage, and how we can go about doing this without hurting anybody's feelings?
Okay, Brother Kareem, would you like to answer that, Brother Kareem?
Yes, sir, absolutely. However, we do have a caller on the line, and I would like to bring them in, get their comment or question, and then I would definitely answer that question, most definitely.
Yes, sir.
So, okay, well, they just decided they don't want to talk, all right.
No
problem. praise be to Allah.
We don't have that Sister Queen touch. Don't worry about it, brother. We'll be all right.
Hey, I'm not. Okay, now, brother, I want to be precise in my answer, so would you state the question again for me, please?
Yes, yes. The question is, why should we, even though we have flesh and blood in the family and they don't believe as we believe, why should we separate from them, and how and what method can we use to separate or distance ourselves without seeming vain or arrogant or judgmental? How can we avoid not showing that, you know, they're flesh and blood, but how can we separate that feeling of showing that we are arrogant and what they say is true and what we say is not true and vice versa?
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Well, first I would like to refer back to the definition Student Minister Stanley Muhammad gave of family. You see, what family is. And in that, let me see what Miriam, and that's not Miriam of the Quran, that's Merriam-Webster, has to say. All right. And they define family as a group of individuals living under one roof and usually under one head. A group of persons of common ancestry, clan. A people, a group of peoples regarded as deriving from a common stock, they say race. A group of people united by certain convictions or a common affiliation or fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
A group of things related by common characteristics. A closely related series of elements or chemical compounds. And it goes on, but the thing here we notice that it's saying is that what we're talking about is a group of related things. In other words, family or familia is those who are coming together on common ground. You have something in common. Now, I've often said this. There are many. I got a bunch of relatives. Okay, we're related via DNA. Okay, but that does not make them my family. Because members of a family think along similar lines. They move in the same direction. They have common goals, and the welfare of the whole is constantly in their hearts and on their minds. That's what their actions are about. That's family or familia. So the thing is as far as distancing oneself from them, just the very act of you living the life of a God-fearing individual, just the fact of you living the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Today, just the fact that you say you with Farrakhan will automatically distance 90% of them from you. I mean, this is the reality of this. The other thing is, oh, but then you have those whom, for whatever reason, they may not understand. Well, the thing is that you don't necessarily, quote, unquote, cut them off. But the thing is that because there's always an opportunity by your example that they may come to the truth. But the thing is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan put it in our green book, The Restrictive Law of Islam is Our Success. And he talks about the fact that, you know, the believers are friends, and I'm going to paraphrase and say family or familiar of one another. So we congregate together.
That's right.
I mean, we're going to be doing things that they're not going to be doing. And it's not out of arrogance. It's not out of an air of better than. See, and that's what we have to understand the difference between. See, there is better than, and then there's an air of better than. And the difference is that those who operate in that air of better than are operating out of the negative side of ego. Whereas when you are better than, you operate out of humility because all praises are due to Allah, and it's not just something you say, that's how you live. So, again, I would say my answer to that is simply by living this life, you know, it's going to separate you from those individuals who don't desire to live this life, particularly in this time. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, salam. Thank you for asking that question. You wanted to compound on that question, Brother Minister Stanley?
Yes, sir. I would be more than happy to. The Bible, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 17, it says, a friend loveth at all times,
mm-hmm.
and is born for adversity. See, we can be brothers, but that doesn't make us friends. Jesus says, greater love has no man
than he give his life.
Down. What sin is, as we are taught by the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, one who is involved in the same mission. Mission. That's what makes you friends. You lay your life down for your friend. Meaning that you don't have an inordinate self-interest. You deny yourself for your friend. But brothers who are blood, they're born with that adversity because you have two in the womb, the Holy Quran says, one a believer, the other a disbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
Adam and Eve gave birth to Cain and Abel. How do they do that? How do you give birth to a believer than a disbeliever? Let me just show you something. What Allah blessed me to see in the Bible, which I dealt with before in one of my lectures, in the book of Genesis. God, in verse chapter 1, said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he. And God blessed them. He didn't bless just the man. He blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And then you jump over to chapter 5 of Genesis, verse 2, it says, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. So when you talk to you're not just talking about the man. He's talking about the man and the woman. Because the woman is a magnificent part of the man. Let me show you here with the help of Allah. Here in chapter 2, this is very important too, and then before I go there, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, he created the man from the dust of the ground. But he also created the beast of the dust of the ground. But it is not until God breathed into Adam that he became a living soul. That's the spiritual potential that man has. But if man refuses to spiritually grow into his potential, which is seen in verse 26 of chapter 1, giving him dominion over the whole earth, then he becomes like dust. Dust has no value. See? And that's what we have been reduced to, dust. And so here we are seeing that if God breathes into us, that means we are alive. That means we have life. And if you have life, you have what? You have love. If you have love, you have God. And the righteous man, the book of Proverbs says, his mouth is a well of life. So when he speaks to his wife, he gives her life. If the man speaks and he kills her spirit, that man does not have life. He does not have love. That means he really don't know God as much as he says he does. So here, God gave him a big job. Over the earth. And so in verse 18, chapter 1, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Now check this out. Now here it is. This is the nature of a woman, to be a helpmeet to a man. Help him meet what? Everything we read before. What God gave Adam to do. He made Adam his vicegerent. He made Adam to stand in his place. Ooh, that's big. That means you won't stand in the place of God? So God made the woman, or created the woman, to be a helpmeet to God's vicegerent. So the nature of a woman is to help a man doing the work of God, and to help a man that is reflecting the image and the likeness of God. You ever notice women, when they see a star, they get really beside them, they get all feminine, and they might be rough to us who ain't doing too much in the world. That man that is a basketball player, football player, and accomplished great things, she gets feminine. And she talks sweet because she wants to console him, because she knows that this man have done a very difficult work. And it's difficulty when a man is involved in a difficult work and a woman knows he's actually done a difficult thing and he accomplished much in his life, her nature wants to console him. And that consolation helps rejuvenate him that he can do more work. So here it is. I haven't forgotten about the Adam and Eve producing Cain and Abel. And the Lord God called a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Well, this is bearing witness to the self-creation of God. And when God created himself, he studied himself and found in himself a second self called woman. And he went into himself and reproduced this woman from, went into the woman after he created her from himself, pardon me, and went into the woman and reproduced himself. That's very important. He reproduced himself. Now, when God created a man and woman, Adam and Eve, he gave them instructions. You can eat from all these foods, but this one in the midst of the garden, don't eat from. We know about that, right? Well, after that instruction, they were naked. They didn't have nothing to hide, Brother Reginald. Brother Kareem?
That's right. That's right.
That's what he said. That means his wife trusted him.
Come on.
That's a warfare picture. I'm naked. That means I ain't got nothing to hide from you. I start the relationship clean. Everyone, when they say, I do, everything prior to that don't matter because they were not committed to each other in holy matrimony. But when you say, I do, you're clean. That's why people have the bachelor parties and do all that stuff, get out of their system. But when they get married, they got to stop all that. That's what in their mind they're thinking. It's true. Because when you get married, but it's really deceiving too, because you're not going to just change overnight like that. You're doing all that sin, and then when you get married, like it's just going to go away, poof. What do you do to make it go away? What purifying principle did you engage in? So here, they were naked. They had nothing to hide. They were innocent. But when this serpent came up to Eve, see, when God gives instruction, it brings about that curious nature. And also, you got to remember that the book of Psalms 82, verse 6, that ye are all gods, children of the Most High God, that means that you are a God too. And sometimes we get confused. God won't tell you you can't do something. I'm a God too. See? And so the Eve is not talking about Eve, the woman, but it's telling you what takes place in your mind. Evening, when it's evening, it's getting dark. When your thoughts get dark, that serpent-like nature comes out. That bestial nature comes out. Or that serpent represents deceptive intelligence rationalizing, justifying disobedience to God. Didn't God say don't eat from that tree? Yeah, he said don't eat from that tree. Well, why not? It's not good for food. Then after the serpent spoke to her, she saw it good for food. Or he saw it good for food. So deception is designed to change your perception. And so here they both ate from the forbidden fruit, which means they ate from Satan's philosophy. And they died in friendship because they both had the same mission. But when they abandoned the mission of God, that's when they actually developed in God. It is called the reactive mind. And the reactive mind is our emotional reaction towards God's instructions. And when it's our emotional reaction produces a disobedience, that's what produces the ingrown. And so what the question is, was after they broke the law and disobeyed God, what happened? That's when they procreated. And that's when they produced a Cain and an Abel. So was Cain as a result of a prenatal ingram? Was Cain a result of disobedience to God because the womb in your mind produces what's in the womb, your uterus? Whatever's on your mind as a woman, that's what you're going to produce in your womb. It gives a lean towards disobedience. It gives a lean towards rebellion. And that's what produced a king. And so that's why I answer your question a long way. That's what produces, even though Cain and Abel were blood brothers, Brother Reginald, they were adversarial because they were not friends. And when Adam and Eve broke the friendship with God, it produced in the womb two brothers who were by nature supposed to be friends. It broke the friendship with them as well. And there goes the happiness in the family.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Well, assalamu alaikum, family.
Walaikum salam.
I was listening. Oh, wow. Beautiful, beautiful Brother Stanley. We might have to run over tonight because I know it might be some other people that have questions. And so I just want to yield to the listening audience before I give a report on Brother Jihad. So those of you who may have a question, let them go ahead and ask. Press one on your dial pad. I'm sorry, and I lost my chat room. So press one on your dial pad. If you don't press one on your dial pad, I'm going to call you out because I know all these numbers. Most of these numbers, I see y'all. So I'm going to call you out. So I'm giving you 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, I'm going to have to pick somebody. But before I do, if you don't mind, Brother Reginald, they start hanging up. That sounds so funny. I just want to tell you what a wonderful, wonderful experience I just had. I received a text message, and, you know, I'm so on edge about Brother Jihad right now that it was from my other Brother Jihad out of Florida, out of Tampa, and actually what he had done, him and his organization, BYC, which stands for Building Your Community down there in Tampa, they had actually put together a prayer line for Brother Jihad, and he wanted me to come on and give the believers an update. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful prayer in Arabic, in English. Sister Fatima out of the Sister Student Ministry out of Muhammad Mosque Number 1, Detroit, our Mecca, was on. A brother Muhammad was on. Our little brother Jacoby from Tampa was on. And I don't know who else, but a very beautiful, beautiful and special prayer for Brother Jihad. And I didn't mean to preempt this show to go to that one, but it was so much, so much worth it. And just the love and the spirit and the unity of just us few on the phone for those few minutes. Brother Jihad is a beautiful, beautiful soul, beautiful brother. I've always loved him. For the first time I met him, and you know, I just want to say thank you. Oh, I'm not gonna cry. I just want to thank everybody for the prayers and for the support. And you know, Brother Jihad was very passionate about this work, and he believed in it. And even when I was discouraged, he the one that kept me going. He was like, sis, we got to build Nation Builder. We got to build it, and he kept me going. So we're not going to let him down, but I want to thank everybody for their prayers, remind everybody about the three-day fast that we're starting, I guess, now up until the 20th of for Brother Jihad, because our prayers are more sufficient when we're fasting. So if you're not able to fast, we're asking the brothers to take on a few extra final calls, whether it's 5 or 10 or whatever. And I think Brother Victor down in Fort Lauderdale, I know he started that, and some other brothers down in Florida and some in Atlanta. And you know, is for the sisters. If you know, if you can't fast, you know, cook a pot of bean soup and serve it up for the single brothers who, you know, going home eating cold sandwiches or whatever. Fix them some bean soup and salad, you know, for the single brothers so they can have a hot meal. Just whatever you can do in the form of charity, then please do that in Brother Jahad's name, because that's the kind of brother that he is. And he is doing well. He is making progress, but he has a long way to go. He's still in critical condition. So I just wanted to say that. But there is a question on the line. We're going to take it, and then I'm going to let you all proceed. So area code 832, your mic is live.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam. Brother Milton.
Simply marvelous. That's it.
Praise be to
Allah. Well, thank you.
Allah
Milton, is that all you're going to say? Is that all you're going to say?
Yes.
Well, I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you, dear brother. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salam.
That is my good friend. He has been my friend for 34 years. And all the way from middle school. So thank you, Milton, for calling in and for your support. Thank you so much. Okay, any other questions out there? Brother Stanley is here. Brother Reginald is here. Brother Kareem is here. I know y'all got some questions. So press 1 on your dial pad if you do it. And Brother Stanley, please go ahead and proceed. Or Brother Reginald, whoever was next. I just wanted to let everybody know what was going on.
Thank you, Sister Queen.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Brother Stanley. Muhammad, if you don't, Brother Minister, I'm sorry. If you don't mind, you can go ahead and since it's all based on your four-part series, you may want to tell them what the next part would be about, or you may want to conclude this part before you go into the next part. But I think it will be sufficient. So we'll know what we're dealing with next week. So the listening audience can go ahead and prepare their questions ahead of time, and we can make sure that we have the right platforms available for them to present their questions as well as call in, because tonight, we didn't have, our platform was a little sloppy, but you know, all praise is still due to Allah, and sometimes, you know, these things happen. So without further ado, Brother Minister Stanley Muhammad, could you go ahead and give the people detail on what's to come and go ahead and conclude this discussion based on what we all have talked about tonight.
And what I ended on with Cain and Abel, Cain was upset because God did not accept his offering, but he did accept Abel's offering. And God asked Cain, in the book of Genesis, and it's going to lead to part two, what I'm about to say, Brother Reginald, being obedient to what you asked me to do. He said to him, if you do well, you will be accepted. And he asked him, Cain, why are you angry? This is God talking. Why is your countenance fallen? Your spirit. See, when your countenance falls in Dianetics, he's talking about you're on the tone scale. You're dropping on the tone scale. And that's indicative that you're now re-dramatizing an engram. And the most fierce engram, according to L. Ron Hubbard, is from 2 years under those, that prenatal engram. And he says, every child shares the engram of his mother. So now here he's re-dramatizing the engram because he's angry. And that's two on the emotional tone scale. Whenever you see someone angry, that's an engram. An engram in our listening audience is nothing but, in spiritual term, it's a demon. So then God says, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, we all know that Cain eventually murdered his brother Abel. In study guide number 18, the minister refers to this engram in spiritual terms as Leviathan. Leviathan is, he speaks about, the messenger says, like, it's in physical terms, it's the white man's submarine. Or he calls it a sea monster that lies at the depth of the ocean. The Holy Quran in chapter 11, verse 7 said, the throne of God sits upon water. And the brain sits on water like a ship sits on the ocean. The brain is composed of water. And Honorable Mr. Farrakhan said in the study guide, The Will of God, that the brain of man is a repository of God's spirit. So the brain of man is composed of water, but in the subconscious mind of a man, there is Leviathan, or that sea monster. And the emotions, the whirlwind of emotions, will bring it to its surface. And you'll start seeing an ugly monster come out of a human being. So, that being said, most of us, if not all of us, have this Leviathan or sea monster. And Leviathan, you can read about it in the book of Job, chapter 3, verse 8, Psalms 74 and 14, and Job 41 and 1. And in my study guide, it's study guide page 325. And listen to what the minister says about Leviathan. And Leviathan is defined as to be coiled or twisted. It's a state of confusion, coiled or twisted. And I close with this, and it leads to part two. Listen to what the minister said. In the book of Psalms, David speaks of a sea monster that dwells in the depth of the ocean. It is called Leviathan, and it's a frightening thing. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad explained to me that this sea monster is actually a reference to the devil's submarine. He said that we can bring the submarine up out of the water by using the force of wind in a circular motion. This powerful motion forces a submarine up on its end. Once forced up, the waters part, and the power of the wind causes the water to slam against it, crushing it to pieces. They are monsters in the bottom of our consciousness. God brings these things up with winds or trials that he sends to stir up the waters of emotion. These monsters rest beneath the surface of our being, unseen and undetected in our daily interactions. Cain and Abel were from the same womb. On the surface, they looked alike, but they were not the same beneath. The Holy Quran says, Allah brings us forth from the womb. One of you is a believer and the other a disbeliever. To force that which is hidden beneath to come forth, Allah creates a test that will stir up the emotions and dislodge and brings up the hidden monster. So next week, we deal with how we can destroy that monster. Before we get together with a man, before we get together with a woman, that monster has to be destroyed, all that monster will destroy your marriage, destroy your family, and it destroys your children. And the Holy Quran says in Surah 74 called Al-Mudathir, thy garments do purify, thy Lord do magnify, and uncleanness do shun. Next week, we're dealing with the purification of the heart and the mind of that woman who desires to be a true servant of God. That man, the purification of his heart and mind, who desires to be a true servant of God, and these two who desire to be on the journey to be one with God, understand the journey of marriage and the journey of God, they parallel. And this journey produces pure children. And these pure children and this pure husband and pure wife, pure mother, pure father produce a happy family life. So next week we deal with the purification of the heart and mind before we come together as spouse. And courtship is a part of that purification. Dianetics is a part of that purification. And the restrictive laws of Islam is a part of that purification. And prayer and fasting is a part of that purification as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brother Stanley. And before we go, we have Brother Jihad here, Brother Jihad Amos Muhammad from Tampa, who is the founder of BYC and who just led that beautiful prayer line for Brother Jihad. So, Brother Jihad, come on here and share a few words with us.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. You said you was going to call him out, huh?
Yes.
First, allow me to open up in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, and seek refuge in Allah, the Supreme Being, from the rejected Satan. I want to greet the Brother Stanley, right?
Yes, Student Minister Stanley.
Student Minister Stanley, give you your proper greeting, and also I want to salute you and the moderator who did an excellent job in moderating the line in your temporary absence. And I also want to thank and acknowledge those who assist in holding this line together. All praise is due to Allah. With that being said, Brother Stanley shared a wealth of knowledge, and I had so many questions just for the small time I heard him speak on the creation. He went back to the basis, and that is speaking of the creation of man and how Allah brought us into existence, and he also shared with us the envy and the jealousy of the brothers, and I know he was going to bring it to the perfect present tense in which we live now, and I can't wait to hear part two of this, but I had so many questions, and I have so many questions, and I pray that Allah give me life to attend again this wonderful call so that I could pose those questions to our student minister, Brother Stanley Muhammad, inshallah. And I want to thank you again, sister, for acknowledging me on the line and for allowing me to share a few words. And with that being said, let's keep our brother Jihad Muhammad in our prayers, and let's keep those who are ill and afflicted, who you know and who you don't know, let's keep them in our prayers. Inshallah, mashallah, if it pleases Allah, we'll be successful. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam. Thank you so much, Brother Jihad, who does a magnificent work with the youth and not-so-young people in Tampa. He is a hard-working young man. I love you much. Thank you so much. And such a beautiful heart, beautiful heart. He always has it. He's a soldier, but he's a soft touch, too.
I must say that Jihad very well, and we soldiered together in Tampa. He's an absolutely beautiful brother, and he's definitely a large crown, and I want to say to you, but keep up the good work, and may Allah continue to bless you, guide you, protect you, and forever feed you his wisdom, his knowledge, and above that, his divine guidance to know what the next step is. And we got that who knows every step because he's being fed every step by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Farad Muhammad. I'm referring to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Khan. So keep up the good work, my dear brother.
Allahu Akbar. Is this Brother Stanley out of Atlanta?
Absolutely.
Allahu Akbar. You know, I have to say this to folks. Sister Aziz, I have to say this before we get off this line. I have to say
yes,
this.
Sir.
You know, I won't go into details, but I have to say this. When I came into the knowledge of self, he was the first brother who brought me to the mosque. He brought me to the mosque, and I was told by because I never knew there were so many branches of Islam. And when I got out of prison, I was always told, just like a teenage girl who father is on him and don't want him to go out the house, you know. And I was like, not in that sense, but spiritual virgin in the sense of being told not to intermingle with other spiritual minds. And brother was always pointed out to me, him and Brother James pointed out to me not to affiliate with them, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a rebellious child, I got acquainted with brother, and he brought me out. I believe it was on Main Street, and he brought me out, and that's where I heard the first lecture. I think Minister James was giving it, and I heard the first lecture there, and he gave me my first pamphlet, the FOI pamphlet, in which I still have to this day, and that was in, I believe that was in 90, it was in the 90s, put it like
the early. That's right.
Early 90s, 94, 95, something like that. But he was the first brother that brought me to the mosque, the first brother that led me by my hand and took me in the mosque and watched me carefully. And he watched me carefully. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. I'm so glad.
I just want to add, too, Brother Minister Stanley don't remember me, but I'm also was brought up at 20 years ago when I first met him in Tampa, because I am also from Tampa, coming out of, hailing out of the Nuccio area. And Brother Minister Stanley may not remember me, but I was on Southern Final Calls with you on Hillsborough and 40th Street. So just to let you know, we are, you know, we come from the same heritage down the way.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know you. Very, very. When I saw your picture, I said, I know that brother from somewhere, but I couldn't pinpoint where. How do you make
I love it.
Yes. And Brother Jahad,
oh,
I love you. Keep up the great work, my brother.
Allahu Akbar. You do the same, Brother Minister.
Yes, sir. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, wow. What a family reunion.
Yes. Yes. All praises be to Allah.
That's right.
That's my man.
Well, I want to thank the listening audience for staying overtime with us. I want to thank Brother Kareem and Brother Reginald for stepping up to the plate. We were kind of all over the place, and thank Allah for Student Minister Stanley. We was trying to hold it down till you got here, Brother Minister, and I know it was an unforeseen incident, but we look forward to next week's lecture from you. And I just want to thank all of you once again for praying for Brother Jahad. Please keep him in your prayers. If you can fast tomorrow. If you can do something charitable on his behalf, do that. Thank you again, Brother Jahad Amos Muhammad, for all of your efforts. And please extend another thank you to my little brother Jacoby down there. Give him a FOI hug for me. For just, you know, starting the idea of the fast. So we're going to pick this up next week. And, again, thank all of you as we leave you, as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Beautiful job, Brother Reginald. Thank you.
Thank you, sister. All praises to you. And thank you. Thank you, family.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, let's go.